Good afternoon and welcome to the Thrive Fortinet Cybersecurity Roundtable, where we'll be discussing lessons learned from 2020 and predictions for 2021. I'm John Holland, the Chief Revenue Officer of Thrive, and will be moderating today's discussion. Before we get started, let me walk through some housekeeping. First, today's webinar will last for about 45 minutes, depending upon the amount of questions. We're recording this and we'll distribute the content shortly after the event if you would like to rewatch or share with someone. If you have any questions, please enter them into the QA area below or directly into the chat box, and we will get to them shortly. Now to the agenda. I'll spend a few minutes giving you a high-level overview on both Thrive and Fortinet, as many of you on the call haven't engaged with our two companies and think it will help you put the content from the call today into better perspective. After that, I'll hand the call over to the two speakers who will give you a look back at what we learned in 2020 and a look forward to what to be prepared for in 2021 in and around cybersecurity. Now to our speakers, Mike and Jonathan. Can you please introduce yourself and give us your background? Let's start with Mike.
Yeah, hi, John. Michael Graham, Thrive CTO. I'm responsible for technology strategy and vision, as well as security, compliance, and cloud operations here at Thrive. I'm extremely passionate about security, and I want to personally thank Fortinet and Jonathan for being here to join us today. I think this is always an interesting time of year to take a look at what's happened and also try to predict what might happen in next year and in the future in general.
Well, hi, and thanks for this opportunity. My name is Jonathan Nguyen. I'm a vice president and a field CISO at Fortinet. I've been working in security for about 25 years. I started way back in the 90s. I spent 16 years at Verizon, where I was part of the leadership team for that MSSP practice there. I left Verizon as a security CTO, where I ran the data breach investigations report. And so, long lesson short, across 12,000 different data breaches, I saw lots of underlying issues that were occurring every year. And that's why I came to Fortinet, to really help drive the technology side of the house to help get cybersecurity right. And so really looking forward to talking about what we learned over the last 12 months, plus what we learned in the last 20 odd years, and what that means going forward. So again, many thanks to Thrive and Mike for this time.
Thank you very much, Mike and Jonathan. As mentioned, I'll spend the next few minutes giving you a brief and high-level overview on both Thrive and Fortinet to help you better understand who we are and, again, to help you put all this content better in perspective. So to Thrive, Thrive's one of the largest and fastest-growing managed service providers and managed security service providers in the country. Can deliver full end-to-end IT outsourcing to our clients, or the fastest-growing part of our business is where we see our clients not outsourcing everything to us, but where we're just doing components of their IT, which would include cloud, managed services, and or cybersecurity. Excellent. In summary, here's what makes Thrive very unique. Thrive, being one of the largest MSPs and MSSPs in the country, have reached the scale to invest in our tools, people, and processes that others haven't been able to do. Next, our service offering, where we can deliver next-gen IT services, helping you reach your business objectives and your short and long-term goals. Next, our automation and orchestration engine that we built on managed services platform on gives us and our customers incredible insight into their environment, along with some self-service capabilities that literally change the way companies consume IT. And lastly, based upon these three points, and most importantly, is the Thrive client experience of what our client satisfaction scores tell us about how we service our clients and how they continue to increase quarter after quarter. Fortinet mission is to deliver the most innovative and highest performing network security fabric to secure and simplify the IT infrastructure. They're a leading provider of network security and SD-WAN, switching and wireless access, network access control, authentication, public and private cloud security, endpoint security, and AI-driven advanced threat protection solutions for carriers, data centers, enterprise, and distributed offices. Now let me hand the call over to our two speakers today. Take it away, Mike and Jonathan.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for that overview. You know, before we get started and before Jonathan and I start talking a little bit about what's happened in 2020, I just want to quickly mention there was a announcement yesterday from SolarWinds about their Orion product. And Jonathan and I aren't going to dive too deep on the breach specifically. I just wanted to mention just a little bit of an announcement. Thrive does not use SolarWinds Orion in its managed service offering. More formal communication will be coming out shortly, but didn't want to miss an opportunity just to ease everyone's mind that we don't actually use that product directly in our services. So, you know, while we certainly do use some of the products there, but it really has nothing to do with the announcement from yesterday. So, Jonathan, thanks for letting me take that quick pause before we jump in. I think this is the part of the conversation that you and I are definitely looking forward to. I think to look back at 2020 and not talk about, you know, the events with COVID as they pertain to security, is obviously short-sighted, but, it's a topic that has been, we've dug, you know, pretty deep on how work from home has affected things. But, you know, I think it's made people a lot more agile, businesses a lot more agile, put a lot of focus on zero trust. And, you know, if there is some sort of silver lining here, it's a sort of very quick acceleration of maybe cybersecurity initiatives that people were already thinking about doing. And, you know, what happened with COVID in March, when everyone started to work from home, almost forced people into making those changes they were already thinking about doing anyway. From the Fortinet side of thing, I mean, what have you seen as far as the zero trust and how work from home changed things?
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking about these macro trends 4 years ago. In fact, I used a slide that was data from 2016, and it talks about the acceleration of complexity, the amount of complexity we have in our environment, the expanded attack surface, right, and the speed at which things are occurring from a performance side of the house. All of those things were accelerated by COVID-19 and the drive towards digital transformation. Literally overnight, everybody wanted to be a cloud native company because the cloud natives were able to demonstrate a clear ability to outperform the traditional brick and mortar type companies. Remote working, I think, accelerated zero trust. So zero trust, for the audience who may not be familiar with it, is a concept that was spawned in 2009. So it's been around for a while. But it was the idea of applying least privilege across an enterprise, meaning that only the right people should be able to access the right applications and workloads at the right time. And that now means not only users, but entities as well. And so now that 90%+ of us are working outside of that perimeter, zero trust is more widely adopted. It's something that should have been adopted much earlier. But like you said, Mike, the good thing is that now it's being adopted. So what we saw at Fortinet were a couple of things. One, a rapid acceleration in terms of remote access. And, you know, the FortiGate firewalls that we build already have the VPN capabilities built within that. So a lot of our customers were able to seamlessly accelerate their VPN deployments. The other thing we saw was that as work transformed and branch locations transformed, you know, the entire architecture was changed. So we've gone from a MPLS router-based model where everything is hub and spoked outwards to really it's now about wherever that endpoint is and wherever that branch office is. And there isn't a need to run that traffic all back to a bottleneck in a data center that's no longer relevant. Because why? Because we're consuming services from the cloud and we've moved our workloads and applications to the cloud. And so what we saw over the last 9 months really was a huge acceleration of demand in SD-WAN and that component within the security stack itself. And one of the major aha moments was when a CIO told me, look, Jonathan, those traditional ITIL KPIs in terms of mean time to detection, mediation, remediation, things of that nature are useful. But the only things that really matter right now, it's about the business outcome or the mission outcome. And it's about that end user experience. And what we saw was that as especially mid-sized companies moved to the cloud, there was a huge demand for SD-WAN. Why? Because in order to deliver the business outcome and that end-user experience, the application performance in the cloud has to be optimized. The network performance has to be optimized so you can reach that application, that workload, and it has to be secure. So all three elements, as you said, and we've been talking about NOC SOC integration for years, but I think the pressures driving that have pushed us to a point where we need to think about security and network and compute, meaning cloud, in an integrated fashion. And what I also saw was the sheer amount of complexity that brings is that no longer should security be thought of as a DIY exercise. And that traditional five-person team in many mid-sized companies really is no longer adequate. And they're beginning to look at service providers, like folks like yourselves. And it just reminded me of a conversation I had with Admiral Rogers a while ago when he was still at Cyber Command. He said, look, Jonathan, you know, cybersecurity is a team sport. It's not a DIY exercise. And across the industry, small, medium, large, I'm seeing everyone beginning to outsource some or all of their security function because it's just too complex to manage on your own. You know, from your seat, what did you see, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and by the way, thanks for the catch on the zero trust. And just one note on, you know, Jonathan, I'm sure like me, you use a lot of security terms. Zero trust is really one that I think is becoming front of mind for people. So, you know, much like 20, 30 years ago, if you ask the average office worker what a VPN is, they were just starting to learn about it, right? And I think maybe moving forward, zero trust will really replace, you know, nomenclature as how people connect to different systems. So it's one of those, you know, security buzz terms, as you said, came out 2009, didn't get a lot of traction, but I think really in 2020, it's become very much front of mind. So I would encourage anybody in the audience to just try and learn as much as they can about zero trust. Now, getting back to, you know, the team sport comment, which by the way, I absolutely love, you know, we were seeing a lot of organizations, whether they had security teams or not, they were already overburdened at the beginning of 2020. And then things got really crazy really fast. Yeah. And, you know, what we've always sort of told people is you need to look at security as its own function, not as a function under IT.
Yeah.
You know, I even tell people, I almost equate it to a finance function or some other, you know, equal function next to IT, because not only, you know, we're saying you need to team up with outsiders of your organization, you know, also internally, it's a team sport, right? Your finance team needs to have security front of mind, your HR, your operations, everybody needs to be thinking about security. And for good or for bad, I think, you know, in beginning of 2020 and into everything that happened, people did actually start to realize this is something I have to take seriously. I can't push it off. And by the way, those who weren't prepared, I think there were some pretty serious disasters. You know, if you're already behind the eight ball and then things change right out under your feet, your security got even worse. And, you know, there was the Ryuk ransomware that was spreading about, you know, maybe a month or two. Obviously, those were extremely impactful to a lot of healthcare organizations and others for that matter. You know, and now if, you know, you don't have a regular security check-in with your executive team, at an absolute minimum, you know, it's absolutely time to start. And I know Fortinet always been pushing that message of, you know, secure security fabric and looking across the entire network. One thing I would love to talk about and something that happened, you know, at Thrive is we launched our advanced endpoint powered by Forti EDR, which EDR stands for Endpoint Detection and Response. Could you tell us a little bit maybe about that technology? It's something I think a lot of folks are interested in hearing about.
So the endpoint now becomes very, very important. The reason why is that we're all working outside of that traditional enterprise perimeter, and we're no longer sitting behind a firewall. And all of those home networks were never designed to be enterprise grade or commercial grade security. That's the practical reality of that. And so the quote attack surface and all the points of vulnerabilities in your network is just multiplied. And in fact, one of the most interesting things we've seen is that prior to the pandemic and people going home, there was about a 4 to 5% failure rate in security awareness tests, meaning that on average, consistently, 4 to 5% of any organization staff were clicking on illegitimate links, were opening things, were failing those security awareness training tests, right? And shockingly, in the first 3 months of the pandemic, that rate went to 22%. Why? Because those home networks are not secure to begin with. People working from home are more easily distracted. They're using a multitude of devices. Some are company provided, some are personal devices. And all those become access points into those corporate networks and those clouds with those resources. And so having an endpoint protection capability in a form of FortiEDR allows you to do a couple of things. It allows you to monitor the behavior of that endpoint, whether it's on-net or off-net, to understand and ensure that basically only the right people, users, are accessing the right applications at the right time. And if that endpoint has a vulnerability, it needs to be configured, you can mitigate that. If it's been compromised and is already owned, you can cut that off. The whole idea is to understand, to make sure before anyone is able to get given access, that the identity is authenticated, the device is inspected and ensure that it's allowed to be in that network. So you're understanding what you allow in, what you'll manage, or what you won't tolerate. And then you're going to validate the request for access and then log and monitor things. So that's why it becomes so key. So baseline, as you move people outside behind that protective enterprise perimeter, which is eroding every day, it becomes very, very important to ensure that that endpoint that they're working from becomes the focus of security, because it is that endpoint now that's reaching out directly across the wide area network to cloud resources to consume and interact with those resources. So yeah, it is foundational to security moving forward. And I think it is foundational to implementing those zero trust networking principles. And while we talk about zero trust, there is no one product that you can buy that will implement zero trust. It's a process, it's a strategy, it's an operational approach that says people should only access what they need to access, or at least privilege for all those folks who had service in the military, right? So yeah, absolutely. It's foundational to, going forward.
You know, an interesting thing, and I spoke with the enSilo founder, who is now running FortiEDR. For those who are unaware, enSilo was an acquisition that Fortinet had made in late 2019 that became the FortiEDR product. You know, an interesting detail that he gave me, and I'm assuming you're aware of this, is that product can actually detect through some very simple algorithms whether or not someone is on a home network. Yep. And it was really refreshing to hear that, because you sort of start to realize wherever these endpoints go, and we're going to come out of this. When people start going back to the office, they're going to be very comfortable working from anywhere at that point. So, you know, being able to detect where these networks are is going to be extremely, where these endpoints are, is going to be extremely powerful.
It's even more powerful as we think about what's coming next, right? This expansion of this attack surface, all things being IP enabled, all the work processes that will be IP enabled, right? And so the first object of the exercise in security is understand your current state. And so EDR and the other elements of the Fortinet fabric and our NAC capabilities really begin to allow companies of all sizes to understand what's on their network and then what's attempting to access their network. And I think when you begin with those foundational steps, you begin to address a lot of those structural issues that I've saw over the last 25 years. There are gaps in visibility, the integration, and those gaps are where all bad actors exploit vulnerabilities to get into networks, because the security teams are overwhelmed. They don't have visibility. They don't understand which devices or entities are even on their networks, let alone which networks are trying to access the corporate network, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typically, if you include mobile devices, from what I see, most organizations have three times the number of devices that they think they actually have. It's right. Sort of amazing when you actually sit down and show them to them, if you can, if they have a tool to show them, you know, from a visibility standpoint, what's there. It's always very surprising to sit down and look at how many actual endpoints, including servers, by the way. And then if you include SaaS endpoints, you're using Dropbox, you're using ServiceNow, you're using Salesforce. Those all count as endpoints. It is just a vast array. Even for a small organization, there's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of a speech that Rob Joyce, who ran or runs Tailored Access Operations, which is now called Director of Operations at the NSA. And he says, look, you know, advanced persistent threat actors, the really sophisticated nation state organized crime people and other hackers, they operate with the perspective of what's actually in your network, whereas the operator typically operates with the idea of what they think or should be in their network. Right? And the two are very different. And that gap That gap between what should be there and what actually is there is really where the vulnerabilities are exploited. That's how bad actors get into networks. That's how vulnerabilities are exploited. And that's typically why bad things happen. So you're absolutely right. Having visibility is step one in understanding what's happening, right?
Yeah, and you know, before we transition to 2021, just you know, I know you've heard the statement, and I want the audience to hear some of this. You know, when we look at this multitude of bad actors and the multitude of endpoints, you know, there's an old saying in security, which is the bad guys only need to be successful once, but the people that defend the networks need to be successful every time. So you know, you really have to take a hard look at where you're at and see what kind of visibility you have and what kind of defenses you have. So that was great. Are you ready to transition to 2021 here and see where we're going?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm gonna start with an interesting one. You know, as I was prepping for this, you know, I sort of started to look at how some of these phishing attacks have started to, you know, mutate and how people are leveraging them in different ways. You know, the thing I think we'll see a big increase in is cyber extortion. I think it'll be a much more common term, which is, you know, especially mixing in the home networks. You know, we start to see, you know, perhaps I'm gonna hack your family member and find out what they're up to, and then we leverage that, you know, essentially say I'm gonna post this information publicly if you don't pay my ransom, things like that. Have you heard much about cyber extortion before?
Yeah, absolutely. And those are common themes that run through all cybercrime, right? It reminds me when I was in the Foreign Service Institute many, many years ago, and the instructor said, Jonathan, it's sex, money, and vanity at the root of all human evil. And when you deconstruct, you know, cybercrime and ransomware and extortion, it all comes back to those themes. And you're absolutely right. It's targeting indirectly to leverage against your specific target. But at the same time, I'm seeing very specific attacks against some of the countermeasures around ransomware. So actual targeting servers themselves, the storage components, so those are disabled. And so to your earlier point, I think you need a pretty holistic approach. The level of complexity in terms of understanding what your greatest risk exposure is and what's the most effective manner to mitigate that risk. I think that's where folks like yourselves come in. I think that type of overnight, right? You really gain over years of experience working with dozens of customers, and that's what anyone would really benefit from. But at the same time, I see very specific attacks targeting endpoints, targeting users. Our FortiGuard Threat Labs now is seeing cases in which campaigns of attacks are targeting the vaccine and themes around COVID-19 vaccination, about when to get it, how you can get it, and a lot more healthcare-directed attacks as well. I'm also beginning to see the consumerization of ransomware. So in addition to attacking companies with hundreds of thousands worth of dollars of ransomware, but as you alluded to, so many facets of our lives are now IP enabled, and we'll hold ransom to that for $25, $50, for instance. There was that notorious cases in which hotels were breached and then customers were locked into the room. And would you pay the ransom to be allowed out? And so again, all those elements continue. Someone said to me earlier this year, said, look, Jonathan, cybercrime exists because like all crime, it pays. And so until that disrupted, criminals are always going to seek ways of leveraging technology to make money. And oh, by the way, they're going to take the easiest path. And so we're not necessarily being compromised and popped by these really sophisticated zero days. That does happen. But the vast majority of disruptions and data breaches, you know, really take advantage of things we already knew about. In fact, some 8 out of 10 major attacks and disruptions and breaches could have been stopped through simple to intermediate controls, right? Things like basic security hygiene. So my biggest 2021 prediction is this, is that we're still going to fail on the basics because companies and organizations of all sizes are not operating in that really broad and integrated fashion where they allow themselves to identify and solve the 80% of things, the known knowns, right? We're failing on those things. And I think if we do that, then we can address some of the other challenges. I think the other big thing about 2021 is it's all gonna be about outcomes and customer experiences, and that those traditional ITIL KPIs are gonna be important, but not as meaningful. The key elements moving forward is how well can your customers interact with your brand in a secure and seamless fashion. In order to do that, you've got to have optimized application performance in the cloud. You've got optimized network performance, optimized security performance. And so those three separate stacks, disciplines almost, organizations need to operate in an integrated fashion. That's, I think, is going to be spawned out. That and, of course, the rise of artificial intelligence to accelerate our ability to detect and mitigate these things. And so what's emerging is a pretty clear picture is that, in February, NIST came out and said that you really need to consider cyberspace as a hostile operating environment. So whether you're a small, medium, large, global enterprise, you will be targeted. You most likely will be compromised. And the environment and the things you're trying to accomplish are really too complex to do it on your own. And so I think more and more organizations are going to seriously think about, what is my core competency? Is it about delivering that business outcome, about delivering that experience, or is it about operating technology? And my advice is that seek out the best partner who understands you, but also importantly understands the technology to help you succeed.
I'm glad you sort of finished off with that. A lot of times we'll have a conversation with someone who maybe has had an attack or is nervous, prospect who's experienced an incident. We sort of start to take a step back. They sort of talk about the bits and the bytes and, what tools can I get? My first question to them is, do you have a security budget? Do you have a cybersecurity budget? Then let's talk about how we can work from there. 9 times out of 10, they don't have a cybersecurity budget, which is, it's a funny place for a technologist to start, because we got to figure out, because, frankly, I use this a lot of the talks that I've heard about is there are some banks out there that have made it public that their cybersecurity budget is endless. Yeah. So you're talking about very, very large organizations that are willing to put any dollar to keep things secure. Yeah. So when you think about what they're doing on the high end, on the lower end things, where are people? Sometimes I even tell people, why don't you get it down to security cost per user? Because that's something that a lot of organizations can really understand.
Well, just one other thing that Admiral Rogers pointed out to me. He said, look, Jonathan, did you note that the largest data breaches occurred in the largest organizations, public and private, with the largest staff and the deepest budgets, right? And so at some point, it's really not just about the budget. It's about how you apply the technology, what your strategy is. And, do you understand your current state? And do you understand what your future state, your desired state is? And then having a plan, working with someone like yourselves to say, how do we get from where we are today to where we want to be and where we need to be, right? At a reasonable level of care and trust and expense, right?
Well, there's so much vigilance that's required. It can be exhausting. This endless vigilance that can be required to make sure that you're at least aware of things that are happening. Hopefully there aren't security incidents, but they're likely to be. Did you detect them and did you mitigate them quickly? So I want to change a little bit to another look ahead. And I want to talk a little bit, you mentioned about things getting faster. Just want to talk about 5G. I think 5G, obviously it's here in the new iPhones. It doesn't really work. But I think by the end of 2021, you're going to see speeds accelerate. And obviously 5G is going to be a big factor, and also attacks from 5G sources will obviously increase as well. From the Fortinet side of things, where do you guys see 5G at the end of 2021?
So continually acceleration of network performance. What I really see the challenge is the volume, the velocity, and the variety of data, especially encrypted data. When you're thinking about 5G speeds and 90%+ of your enterprise traffic being encrypted, do you really have the security platform and technology that can decrypt that much data without degradation of performance? And one of the things that we're really proud about at Fortinet is that given our ASICs acceleration, meaning that we have very specific software and chips that accelerate the performance of our firewalls, that we can handle and decrypt massive volumes of data without that impairing of performance. So you don't have to compromise on performance to have security. I think that's going to be one of those major considerations for all people to think about, because how do I encrypt data? But the practical reality is that if your technology can't support that level of encryption and decryption, then it's going to run in the clear. The point becomes mute to begin with, right? So that's going to be a key point moving forward.
Yeah, I think we might actually even see an increase in DDoS attacks. Now, a lot of people that distributed denial of service attacks, I don't think a lot of people have experienced the DDoS because typically they don't come down to smaller organizations. But just in the way of, you know, commercializing ransomware, ransomware as a service, you know, I do think in 2021, DDoS attacks will be much more common to the smaller organizations.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, my son's elementary school gets DDoS during examination times because the kids have figured out how to go on DDoS as a service or launch it themselves. That's the level of effort needed. If a fifth grader can launch a DDoS attack against his or her school so that they can't have remote learning during examination day, that really begins to tell you about how low the threshold is now, how widely available it is, right?
Yeah, and I think you'd be really unsuspecting when it comes to DDoS, because if you haven't seen it before, it's really hard to understand. It sounds almost, you know, some sort of myth that happens to someone else. But, you know, repelling a DDoS attack is a very, very tricky thing and requires some pretty high level equipment, you know, and it's equipment you're not going to see in small organizations. And, you know, when it comes to all these terms that we've sort of gone through here, there's a lot of times people just get lost in all of this. You know, the thing I really try to tell people, and this is my advice for 2021, is it's okay to ask questions about things you don't know about. You know, look, I've heard about DDoS 100 times. I've heard about zero trust. I have no idea what anyone's talking about. You know, ask your infrastructure team, ask your IT provider, whoever that might be, ask us. You know, it's okay. And, you know, I say this a lot. I've never seen any organization, and I don't think Fortinet has either, that can say, we have security locked down 100%. There's no way in. And if they're saying that, you know, we really need to look in the mirror because nobody has this figured out. There's always something to be improved.
Yeah, I get very nervous when I hear anyone, public, private, large or small, and say, "Yeah, we're good. We don't need anything. We've got great security. We're file proof." You know,
new gaps are created every day, right?
And well, when you say things like that, that's like a red flag to the threat actors out there, right? So right. So the minute you say we're secure, someone's gonna you're literally trolling for attackers to try to find that vulnerability, try to find that exploit, right? And yeah, so that's a lesson for all of us.
Other predictions for 2021 that you want to hit on, Jonathan?
You know, I think that what you'll see moving forward is greater integration of security and networking and compute, because more and more organizations, especially the mid-market, are going to go to the cloud. They're not going to have data centers. There's not going to be a need for a mid-market organization to run their own data centers. And as they begin to do that, it's an opportunity. Most of them are telling me they're consolidating right now. They're rethinking what the future will look like. Given all the problems in the past, what should they do now? And I think the big prediction is that you're going to see security thought of from an outcome-based approach. And when you think about outcomes, then you have to think about security, the network performance, as well as the compute in the cloud. All three come together. And that's what it means by the outcome. And I think that service providers will do well. Their big opportunity is the customer relationships. Because if you can understand what your customers' outcomes are, requirements are, and what their and experience requirements are, then you can tailor your services to help meet that. I remember one customer I had years ago when I ran an MSSP said to me, "Jonathan, look, I don't want a 1/30th of a monthly recurring charge credit. What I want is predictability. What I came to you for is an outcome," right? And I think that's going to be the big trend moving forward. And organizations that can do that, I think are going to do well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too, as I was saying before, you know, it's not something that people talk about often, security, especially non-security people, because frankly, it's a tough conversation to have, right? You're not talking about launching your next product line. You're essentially getting together and talk about bad things that could happen to your organization. But, you know, it's those people that don't have those conversations that we find run into a lot more problems. You know, I'll deal with that later. And, you know, I think in 2021, there's really going to be a big divide here, which is those who are focused on it and can see what's happening. I actually think we'll get even more mature in their security practices. And those that haven't focused, there's going to be even more stories about, major incidents that, brought entire organizations to a halt and even put some out of business. I think that is really going to increase, unfortunately in 2021, because we've got, we still got a lot of people that are behind the eight ball when it comes to what they need to be doing with security.
Yeah. So again, those couple of points and statistics have been true for the last 10 to 12 years. And unfortunately, I think they're going to dominate us moving forward, which is, again, the vast majority of attacks and breaches can be mitigated through simple to intermediate controls. And I think the companies that are going to be successful are the ones who can work with vendors and service providers and say, okay, what does my risk posture look like? What am I trying to do? What are the right controls? And how do I utilize my limited budget and resources to address those risks? And one thing about threat actors and hackers is that they go for easy targets. If you look like you've got a resilient infrastructure with defense in depth, there are easier places to make money. It's about money. That's what it's about. And it's the fastest way and the easiest way to making money. By making yourself a harder target and a hardened target, you go a long way towards ensuring, the security of your organization.
Jonathan, that was fantastic. John, you think we're ready to transition here and take some questions?
I am. Thank you very much, Mike and Jonathan. That was great. So now to the questions. At the beginning of the webinar, I asked you to send your questions, and there have been a lot sent throughout the webinar. If you haven't already, please send them. And once the webinar ends, if we don't get to your questions, part of our follow-up will be connecting directly with you and to make sure we get an answer for you. So let's start with the questions, and let's point this one towards Mike. Mike, can you give us some examples of actions our audience can take today who have low or no investment opportunity to make in security?
Yeah, sure. And I mentioned this, I touched on this a little bit earlier when we were chatting, but there's a topic that I like to introduce to people, and it's referred to as a tabletop or an incident response test. You see it a lot in compliance audits and things like this, which is a simple sit down with the executive team, and you can do this. They're pretty easy to search on the web and security tabletop, and run through what if you had a breach, because in the middle of a breach or a security incident, it is so chaotic and so hard to even understand what to do next. And with Jonathan's history, obviously at Verizon, and now with at Fortinet, just walking through, well, what protections do we have? How do we control these things? How do we make sure we have endpoint protection on every device? Again, you can sit down and do this, even with or without your IT team. Whether it's a COO having a discussion with the executive team of, well, I'm not really sure if we have any real security monitoring from our outsourced provider. Simply asking those questions can go a long way, and it will actually help you start formulate a roadmap moving forward for security improvements.
I think the other thing I want to add is that, you could raise the security awareness of your employees and their families. Right now at Fortinet.com, you can go to our Network Security Experts Institute, and we've got 8 levels of classes which are freely available to the public, where you can get your first NSE 1 and 2. It's just foundational security awareness training, right? Because now, as we're working outside that enterprise perimeter, we all are the front lines. And so the first step towards just readily improving your security, in fact, is to get security awareness training. If you're not utilizing it, go to our NSE Institute, and it's free of charge right now. It's a very easy way to help raise that level of awareness in your staff.
Jonathan, I'll throw this one to you. Ransomware. From your experience, what are the best ways to protect against ransomware?
Well, the best way to protect against ransomware is to have an endpoint protection suite that understands what is happening on that endpoint, and to make sure that if it has been compromised, it can be quarantined, if it can be disconnected from the network, that endpoint is not allowed to access that network. And likewise, the other thing with ransomware is to have a properly configured next generation firewall that has signatures to detect whether it's a file base or not. But the key is really on that endpoint, because ransomware affects that. From a control side of the house, one of the things you can do, of course, is storage, whether it is cloud-based storage or network attached storage. The key about backing up the data is to make sure that you understand what is the interval that's needed for that data. Can it be updated every 30 minutes? Must it be updated every 5 minutes to be effective? So I think that's been one of the key strategies. But like I said, one of the things we're seeing right now are threat actors actually attacking the storage element as well. So yeah, unfortunately, that's going to be here for some time. But that's why EDR and MDR capabilities are so important.
Mike, I'll throw this one to you. We have a couple more minutes, so I think we'll have a chance for maybe two more questions. And as I mentioned, there are a lot of them we didn't get to, so we'll follow up with you directly. But Mike, I'll forward this one to you. Every day there are more and more breaches, and yet there are all these new security products coming out. If things get worse every day, how do these products help? How does everybody keep up with this changing environment and landscape?
Yeah. So, it can be very disheartening, right? You know, to put all these tools out there and there's all this innovation, yet attacks are a very, very common thing. I really do sort of go back to the people and then the visibility that Jonathan and I were talking about. You can install all the equipment and all the software that you want. If no one's watching it, it really isn't that useful. This stuff doesn't just work on its own. We can automate a lot. Both as an outsource provider and you can purchase some automation when it comes to artificial intelligence, things like that. You still need an operator. You still need security operations. You still need someone minding the network to make sure that you know what's going on. And frankly, sometimes it's picking out what's normal and what's not. You may see a bunch of security incidents, but you don't know if that's something. Well, does that happen every day? You could be dealing with maybe some sort of false positive. You could also be dealing with an embedded attack that's been there for several months, right? So, there are advancements every day, but you really sort of first start asking yourself, well, what do I have? What's normal for me and how can I improve?
Yeah, and don't just go out and buy lots of point products and from different vendors. What you really want to make sure is you buy effective technology and you've got a partner to make sure it's properly configured, is properly updated. I will tell you that improperly configured, misconfigured, and non-updated security devices is one of the major causes for disruptions and breaches. And that's where those gaps appear. I would counsel people to say, make sure you buy technology and make sure you have a service provider partner that's going to maintain it and make sure that's properly up to date. A properly configured and up to date next generation firewall will pay off huge dividends in your security posture.
Yeah, and in the enterprise, the breaches are actually often due to misconfiguration of security software. It's not that they didn't make the investment. It's not that they didn't put it in. It just wasn't configured properly.
Right, or the certs had expired. I mean, you can take a look at the most notorious data breaches in history, in our history recently, and you'll find that the heart of it was a misconfigured firewall or an internal segmented firewall whose security cert had expired. And so traffic was able to be exfiltrated in the clear. It's those types of things that can be simple to intermediate controls that can solve, right? And that's where someone like Thrive comes in.
Great. Thank you very much, everybody. That was great. So thank you for the attendees for taking the time. We understand how busy everyone is at the end of the year. And to make an investment of close to an hour with us really means a lot. And hopefully you found value, most importantly, in what we discussed. We'll be sending out the link and the playback to you shortly after the call. If you had questions, and there were a lot of them, we know who sent them in, so we'll have your Thrive representative follow directly up with you to make sure you get everything that you need. Aside from that, the teams from Thrive and Fortinet wish you all a safe and happy holiday. Enjoy.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.